Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to tonight's show, Heroes of the North State, right here on KCNR Radio. I'm Michelle Slade, your host this evening. And our show tonight is brought to you in part by NorCal Tractor and Equipment. They are a wonderful sponsor of ours, along with Emergency Firewater. And I just want to thank them both for being continued sponsors of the show. Tonight, we have a real treat, and I know I say that probably every month when we come here live in the studio, but tonight we have Frank Rose, and Frank is a longtime friend of mine, just a little disclaimer, but there's so much about him, even I don't know. So we brought him on because he is a true, true unsung hero, and we're going to give him a chance to talk in just a moment. But if you are just now tuning in for the very first time to Heroes of the North State on KCNR, you are met with many, many heroes here in our North State who have rose above to make a difference in the lives of others, not because they have to, not because they're told to, but simply because it's just the right thing to do, and it's who they are as people. And so tonight we're going to feature Frank Rose. We're just going to have a conversation, Frank. You and I, welcome.
Welcome. I am welcome.
Yes, you are. I'm so glad to have you here with us. So Frank and I go way back to our KIXE days, and we're going to hear a little bit about that in just a moment. But just to set the stage, Frank, is it okay if I say your age?
Sure.
So Frank is our 90-year-old Korean veteran. I'll let you say that better. You're going to be able to explain that better than I have, who has unselfishly given so much of his life and his time to our United States and to our community. So, Frank, why don't you give us a little bit of background about you?
Okay. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on November 10th, 1932. And, of course, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan,
yes.
Which was formed, Steelers were formed in 1933. And I grew up near Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, and my father was a park guide at Valley Forge Park.
So how long did you live there?
I lived there.
Were you born and raised?
Yeah, I was born in Pittsburgh, but I was raised in suburban Philadelphia. But I was over at Valley Forge, so I guess till I was about 12 years old, and then
okay.
I moved with my relatives on suburban Philadelphia.
I see. So yeah. So then before we came live on the show today, Frank and I were talking a little bit, and he was telling me a story about how you did some sketchings. Was that during that time?
Yeah.
So drawings.
Yeah. A sketching of the scenery and the buildings and so forth. And then I happened to have a chance to be there when one of the movie stars came, two of them came with a bunch of veterans that were dressed up in war outfits and had rifles and so forth and were escorted by the highway patrol. But they had with them a colonel from the Vietnam War, and they were going to do a little talk there at Valley Forge, which I was surprised. And of course, I took pictures, I sketched them, and then I got their autographs. So that was
Wow. Yeah.
And then after they were leaving, there was a motorcycle group, male and female, that were actually chasing, trying to catch up with them on motorcycles. That they were ones that had problems with the law before, but they said, we may not be straight up and down, but we're not communists, and we want to get them and
oh.
beat them up.
Oh, goodness.
So that was something funny to happen, too.
So as a young boy, sounds like yeah. you were pretty engaged just from a young age. with military.
Yeah, very much so.
Did you have a family history of people who have served, or were you the first?
I had three uncles. Two of them were twin brothers. Both were in the Army. One was in the European theater, and one was in the Pacific theater. Hmm. And then the youngest brother was in the Navy, and he was in the Pacific theater. So my relatives, I grew up with the military in my background.
Okay, so you had a true respect for it at a very young age. And so when was it that you had decided yourself that you were going to serve our country?
Well, Uncle Sam...
decided for you?
Yes, they put your number in a box, and at that time they drafted you. So I was drafted, and I served in the Army as a corporal in the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment Recon, and that was called Brave Rifles during the Korean War from 1953 to 55. Now, having a cavalry, armored cavalry, but having the word Brave Rifles, that was part of the original horseback cavalry of the West.
Oh, I see.
And henceforth, part of the insignia is a bugle.
Okay.
And then the word Brave Rifles. So that's where Brave Rifles come into. But they, when they got rid of the horses, they mechanized everything. So
henceforth. So then when you were drafted, where did you first serve?
We first got inducted in Philadelphia, and then went on a convoy down to Baltimore and got inducted again in case we weren't inducted. So
right.
I got inducted twice. And then from there, we went to Baltimore. And then from there, we went by convoy down into Maryland.
So how old were you?
I just had turned 19.
Wow, so you're so young. You hadn't even...
Yeah.
Yeah, and not even time to be out of your parents' home yet.
Yeah, and I also was, when I got drafted, they put you in a place where they think they can need you because of what your background is. Well,
right.
I happened to also be a musician at the time, so when they put me in the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment Recon, I found out that they also were one of the few armored cavalry regiments that had drum and bugle corps. So I was put in a drum and bugle corps and played tenor drum.
Oh, goodness. So how long did you do that for?
Well, for the whole 3 years.
For the whole 3 years you were there.
Yeah.
So what did that look like as far as where did you perform? How did that work?
Well, we had to practice 3 to 4 hours a day besides doing your regular routine. And then any time that any... military general or officer of the government came to visit the post, we went out and performed for him.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then when you weren't doing that, your normal duties?
Yes.
Okay.
And then practicing.
Yes.
A lot of practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was assigned a daytime job, shall we say, and that was an officer's aide.
Okay. Okay. Well, good. So then you, from there, so you served 3 years in the military, and then you, from there, where did you go?
Well, from there, I came out of the Army. I worked a while for the post office, because they needed people. And then basically, as far as I can remember now, I went to KIXE to go volunteering.
I was looking at your bio then, and just information that I just know about you, and so I think that's when I actually started to meet you. I want to say, without giving up too much information, I was in my young 20s and working at our local public television station in charge of the auctions. And what do I know? I think, Frank, you were there before me, and someone said, you want to meet Frank Rose because this guy knows how to get things done. And he came walking into my auction department and said, how can I help you? And I'm an opportunist. So as soon as I found out that Frank was willing and completely able, he was thought of, even though volunteering, we treated you like a true employee, I'd give him a call. There was nothing you couldn't do. So what were your, when you first started volunteering at KIXE, what were your duties?
Well, at that time, for the auction department, had a lot of people would call in and assign merchandise. So they had to have somebody come and pick it up because a lot of them couldn't deliver it. So I drove pickup trucks and vans to the different locations within a tri-state area and pick up the merchandise and do a regular run every day or every other day and brought it back to the station.
Yeah.
And one of my runs to Weaverville, I was given a new pickup truck from the Ford company, but it had a built-in security system that I wasn't told about. And then when I got out and got some stuff to bring back, even though I had a key, I couldn't get in the door. It wouldn't let me release the door. So I had to call back to the station, and they said, oh, we forgot to tell you. So they said, go get a locksmith. And the guy came down on a motorcycle laughing. And then he released the door for me. And then I said, well, I need a bill. He said, no, the pleasure was mine. I got out of the office. So I got a chance to ride my motorcycle. So they what they did when I got it back home, they removed that security system. So
yeah, so you didn't have to deal with that again. Yeah. So if I remember correctly back, I mean, the auctions were so huge. They were 10 days, 14-day auctions.
Yeah.
And we're talking hundreds of items that were donated. And you, it was a steady stream of you coming in. We would have forms. You'd pick up the forms.
Yeah.
Go out into every business that donated, and we're not talking about just like a 10-minute jaunt. You drove all over the tri-state, up Round Mountain, up to Weaverville.
Yeah, Chico, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Chico trips. Very generous community we have and has always been.
Yeah.
So what are some of the, I'm putting you on the spot here, but what are some of the items that you picked up that maybe were just unique or rare? Did anything ever just kind of stick out?
Well, I thought that there was a lot of paintings, large paintings,
mm-hmm.
and photographs, especially Native Americans, was so awesome. I mean, you would be very proud to have any one of those.
Yeah, so I hear the music cueing. That tells us we need to go to a break that helps us have this show. So, Frank, I want to hear more about that when we get back. But you are listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade, and we'll be right back.
Please tell me what there's to complain about.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Good life, good life, good life, good life.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade here with Frank Rose. Frank is an all-around man, I have to say. Frank has been in our community for, what would you say, Frank, 50 years?
Not quite.
Yeah, close?
Kind of close.
And 40, 50 years. And he has been involved in so many different things. It's kind of like, where do we start? We were talking about that on the break. It's, Frank moved here, from Huntington Beach, and then you managed warehouses we were talking about. You were the president, and then you came here, what, just before it looks like the fountain fire?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that. I noticed you've got some presidencies we could talk about.
Yeah, it just happened to me. We moved up from Huntington Beach to Oak Run, and we were here 2 weeks, and then a fountain fire broke out, and we all had to evacuate and get out on the highway and the roads. And then after the fire went all the way up to Bernie, then I decided that I would want to help the Oak Run Fire Department. And I ran for president of the auxiliary, and I did that for 10 years. And in that stretch, he had to do fundraising to help get money for the fire department. And what I did was put together the first sanctioned international chili cook-off in Shasta County. And then we also sponsored antique car and fire engine shows to help build up the donations. And then I acquired a donated mobile home from one of the residents and to the fire department, at which time I took it and turned it into a community library.
Oh, wow.
And which it's still there now today being used. And then I also, the fire department didn't have an American flag there, so I got one of the highway light signs from one of the recyclable people down there on 273. And we put it right up next to the Oak Run Fire Department, and then I dedicated it with a plaque to the oldest deceased fireman, who was a longtime mechanic. And I thought that was, and that's still there. So both of those are still there, the flagpole and the library.
Wow, what a piece of legacy you left behind.
Yeah.
Do you have any photographs taken in front of those? If you don't, you should, Frank.
I probably do, but I don't know where they are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you started out just, there was a need in the community. So ironically, I don't know if you know this, Frank, this show came about because of the car fire for me. So when the car fire happened, everybody in our community, communities all around us just rose above and did so much for so many different people they didn't even know. And I thought, we need to be talking about this. There's a lot of good people in our town who do so much for so many, and they're just unsung heroes. They're not recognized because, people who just have a giving heart or want to make change just typically do it quietly. So That's really, I love seeing that connection where you saw an immediate need with the fountain fire and then all this good sprung from it.
Yeah, there was an odd law that Calvet had into play, and they said that now almost all the employees from the firehouse, the volunteers, most of them all worked in Reading.
Okay.
So
they're working here, traveling up there when there's an emergency.
So now they had to run back home. If they were in Oak Run and it broke out, Calvet at the time says, well, one guy or two guys can't go out on a fire engine to go put the fire out.
Right.
You got to wait till you have three or four.
Right.
Well, that's not going to happen, right? By the time they come back, everything's burnt out. So they kind of said, no, we're going to do what we're going to do. Because that's what we are. We're firemen. We got to fight the fire. We're here. Sure, we're going to wait for the guys to come back, but we're going to fight the fire now, not just wait until they get here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an unusual thing.
So what's the process to become a president of the auxiliary? So you were not associated with them prior to that. So you met this group of people, these firemen.
Yes.
And well, then what, you saw a need and you just thought someone has to take charge, or how's that come about?
They had an auxiliary, and the auxiliary's job was to raise money to help support the fire department in all means, even if they had to get medicine or band-aids or whatever. They had
anything.
To, finances, they had to help do it. So, I took that upon myself, and, I ran for it and got it. My wife was secretary, and then I had another friend, she ran for finance. So, and that's what I did. And then, we had a lot of fun doing it and, got really involved in the community.
Yeah. Make a lot of lifelong friends doing that, don't you?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So true. So true. So then from that journey, I can imagine just the things you've listed would keep you busy. And I'm going to go and take a look at that, that flagpole. I want to see it and just know that you were instrumental in putting it there. So then from there, you moved to Reading, it looks like.
Yes.
So, working in Reading, you weren't retired yet, right? You're still working.
I got a job, at a new establishment that they were putting together, and that was Old Navy.
Oh, yes,
and
that's right.
I was the oldest one and the first one they hired. And, of course, I was the oldest guy, okay, because I was already out of the service. And we were doing training out in the parking lot in a trailer while they were fixing the store, because they revamped five or six stores, including a pet shop.
Yeah.
Was in there, too, and a bar. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the bar's still there, but in another end of the mall. And after it was put together, we started to get these security warnings from the police department saying there's somebody in the store and so forth. So they were trying to figure out where all these warnings were coming from. Well, they found out that because of the pet shop they had there, they were up in the walls like snakes.
Oh.
And mice and so forth. And they were the ones that were doing the motion action.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so we had to get an exterminator to do it and be there permanently all the time. So
yeah.
That was a kind of funny thing. But
oh my gosh, yeah. I can't even imagine having snakes.
They never came out why you had people in the store.
Yeah, but probably they were, scared them.
Yeah, it's only when we were closed down.
Yeah, nice and quiet.
Yeah,
so I remember that now, that I met you when you were still working there.
Yeah, I was there 14 years. I stayed there until I had a bout of bladder cancer, and then I couldn't lift up and stuff, so I had to kind of retire.
You say that so casually, just a little bout of bladder cancer. So you are a strong person. You've been through a lot, and look at you on the other side. So, I mean, medically speaking as well. Well, then, okay, so take a look at this. It looks like you were named Sons of Italy Member of the Year in 1995 and Shasta County's Italian of the Year in 99. So what brought you that honor? What happened?
Well, I was doing a lot of volunteering for different events that the Sons of Italy had, and the Italian of the Year was another Italian organization.
Completely separate. So
yeah,
Sons of Italy recognized you, and then the Italian of the Year.
Yes, and members in the past for Italian of the Year at that Italian organization were also, most of them were all past members of the Sons of Italy that were helping in the community. And that's basically how all of that came from. It was volunteering and doing all these different things and being honored.
Okay.
Also member of American Legion Post 197, and also I'm a member of AMVETS.
I'm going to stop you right there just for a second, Frank, because I've got a couple more questions about the Sons of Italy, but we're going to take a commercial break.
Sure.
And then we'll be right back. You're listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State. graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Crab season is officially open. One Safe Place is proud to bring you the 36th annual One Safe Place Crab Feed, Saturday, February 4th, at the Chef's Visitor Fairgrounds. It's all-you-can-eat crab and oceans of fun, while helping provide shelter and care to local survivors of abuse. Tickets are available online at ospshasta.org. Better act fast, because this event sells out every year. Sponsored in part by KRCR, Tri-County's Bank, and this station. For more information, call 244-0118 or visit ospshasta.org.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade, and you're listening to Heroes of the North State. Here with me tonight is Frank Rose. And before we move on, I just want to thank our sponsors. Our sponsors for tonight's show is Emergency Water Supply, Fire Water Supply, and NorCal Rentals and Sales. And without them, this show wouldn't be possible. So thank you to our sponsors. Well, tonight's hero, Frank, as we're getting to know more about you, has been in our community for, we don't know the exact number, we're sitting here trying to add it all up, between 40 and 50 years, and has been serving our country and serving our citizens of the North State since he was 19. So one, a combination of both. And that's a lifetime of servitry, is that how you say that? Service.
Yes.
Servitry, yes. And so, Frank, I was looking at your bio, and the more we talk and the more I know about you, we don't even have enough time. We never in this show do we have enough time to hear everything. But it looks like, so you were the American Legion Post 1997 and the AMVETS, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Post 1996. So you were been a member. So what? Tell me a little bit about that. What is that?
Well, to clarify, the AMVET post is not 1996. It was the year 1996.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I didn't want to put the post number and then put the year because then it got really confusing.
Yes,
but
yes.
The American Legion, I did all the PR for them, the photographs, and it happened to be quite a few years ago. I don't remember exactly when, but the American Legion was hosting a state convention here in Reading.
Oh.
And Dave Cockrell happened to be the commander at the time and was given that task to set it all up. And, of course, he had to use all the hotels for facilities for members that coming from all parts of the state as well as the ones here in town. Now, American Legion also has a group. It's called Boys.
Okay.
Like Boys Town. But
yes.
That's a group in itself. They're for young ones. And another young fella who was in charge of that, his first name is Frank. I forget his last name, but okay. He was in charge of that. So he was he was in one of the hotels in the Red Lion, and then the other ones, the regular ones for American Legion, were in the other hotels. And and the convention center was where everybody came, and they did all the, and poor Dave was running from one building to the next, to the next, to the next, and back and forth, and especially at the convention center. And then they had a problem there at the convention center. The elevators malfunctioned, and they stopped running.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he had a hard time with a lot of vets how to use the auxiliary entrance to go up the that ramp outside and go in. And so I was running around going from building to building, taking these pictures of all the different vets doing different things all at the same time, which was interesting.
Wow.
And that was the last time they had the American Legion had a convention here in Reading. But
yes.
It's one that I won't forget, and I know Dave won't.
Oh, I'm sure. And you know those photographs that you've taken.
I
just know you as always having a camera around your neck.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Everywhere you went. And so, and you know, for some our listeners now, if you're wondering who Frank is and maybe you haven't met him, if you've seen his car drive around town, he's the guy with all the flags waving off your car. And,
yeah, it's my white Malibu Chevy.
Yes, it's as famous as you are, I believe. So, Frank,
knew the car before I knew Frank.
You did?
I did. I did. I worked in downtown before I worked here at the station. I remember seeing that car all the time, and I was like, man, that is a crazy car. And then I come and I work here, and I work my first Sunday, because he's here every Sunday.
Yes.
And I see that car out front. Lo and behold, it's Frank.
Yeah, so. I love it. Thank you, Liam. That's great.
I know.
That is true, Frank. That does happen. So I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead and continue.
I was now going to talk about the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, which is another organization, which I am a second vice president and also historian, and there I do all the PR for them as well. And I was named... Veterans Advocate of the Year in 2014 for all the work that I had done for CVAC. And then back in 2018, I was then given the award CVAC's President's Advocate of the Year.
Wow. So what is that? Let's just stop for a moment and just think about it. That's a long title, first of all.
Yes.
What does that entail?
All of the community events that I participated in individually and also under the auspices of CVAC.
Okay.
And that includes getting people to join CVAC, and that's the hub of all the veterans organizations under one roof, basically,
okay,
is what it is.
Okay.
So that CVAC knows all the different activities going on in a community at different times so that we could support each and every one of them.
So you were part of a team or volunteer and or paid that recognized veterans' needs or...
Yes.
Or possibly what... I'm not saying it well.
Yeah. Well, it bakes out activity, supports numerous programs benefiting veterans and their families.
So as far as benefits, how do you mean? Was it financially? Was it?
Some of the events, they paid for different things for veterans. They couldn't pay for electric and gas and so forth.
Okay.
And they needed some financial help maybe to pay a month rent or whatever. And things of that nature as well.
So then did you also have fundraisers that funds would go into that? So there were
very much
individual
so.
Funds, yes. And then you created a fundraiser.
Yeah, very much so.
Do you recall what kind of fundraisers you did?
But all of them had sold tickets for weapons, for guns.
Okay, yeah.
And that
like
was
a
the
raffle.
Biggest draw. Yeah, and that was the biggest thing. And they had a lot of participation in the community for those. And it's like one hand washes the other,
mm-hmm.
You know. You do the work and then you hand it out to somebody else
nice.
And get the presentation from it. And then the other thing, I also was a PR for the Northern Valor Stand Down. And that, which offers a hand up, not a hand out, to needy veterans. And that included homeless veterans, their families, and pets. We also give free vaccinations and everything for the vets' pets.
So you're still doing that, aren't you?
What's that?
Are you still involved in North State?
Yes, still involved in Northern California Stand Down. But for the last 3 years, CalVet has have been knocking it out of place so that we couldn't use it because of the restrictions of you had to wear a mask for everything, and it had to be outside, and you couldn't have sleepovers and all of that. And that's, you know, that 90% of everything we do.
Yeah. So what do you think the do you think that's going to come back to the way it was?
In time it will.
Okay.
But right now we're planning on doing possibly to get the kickstart a little bit, doing a 1 day instead of a 3 day, because normally it was 3 days. We fed everybody, all the participants, the veterans, and the help and everything that worked. We fed everybody three meals a day, which we also had to get money for to pay for them, and it generally ran $500 a meal.
Okay, so I'm sorry to sound so ignorant about this, but so it was a 3 day where they come to get help.
Yes, and they stayed at the fairgrounds.
Oh, okay. So then, how did they know to go there, and how did you get the word out?
Well, we advertised a lot. I did a lot of public announcements on a couple of the radio stations, and had Dave come because he also was president of the Stand Down.
So you went around and you told people that there was going to be basically like a resource,
right?
Opportunity, right? Resource fair, for lack of a better word. So you tapped into places where there was a need, and then brought them there to discover what their needs are. Does that sound correct?
Yes, and they had to stay there for the 3 days, and we gave them clothing, and we fed them, and
they slept in tents or outside. How did that work at the fairgrounds?
The food was we served outside under tarps, and it didn't matter if it rained or not, but the sleeping accommodations were done inside the buildings under watch.
Okay.
Because you had the women in one end, the children at the other end, and then the men at the far end, and they had plastic from ceiling to ground.
Okay.
And then you had gentlemen and ladies who were in charge of the attendance and who was where, so they didn't get mixed up and everything, but we took care of everybody.
So, like, did they get any kind of medical screenings, or what was the type of care besides feeding and clothing?
They also had, in another building, they also had that kind of training, screening as well, where they got the free services as needed.
Yeah.
To a degree, not, you know. And then we also had, they also had another building that had an outside organization that came and did new glasses for you right from the beginning and everything. And we also had a dentistry where they did the full teeth and did a whole bunch. So that was all done in another building. And
so, sorry about that, Frank. I bumped your mic. So they get they would get medical consultations, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then we also had I contacted Carl.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stop you right there, Frank, because it sounds like something that we're really going to want to pay attention to. We're going to take another quick break. We will be back in just a moment.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading wants to wish you a Happy New Year. And to celebrate the new year, Quick and Clean offers car wash packages starting at only $9. Now the winter weather is upon us when dirt and grime can really build up on your vehicle. So stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Well, welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade, and you're listening to Heroes of the North State on KCNR 96.5 and FM, and 1460 AM. And tonight, if you're just tuning in, we have Frank Rose here. Frank is a veteran, a volunteer extraordinaire. He is 90 this year. And has been serving our country, our community, and communities since he was 19 years old. And has a family who has been dedicated to the armed forces since he was even thought of. So we've been hearing about Frank's life that is so full of volunteerism. This is our last time with him, so I'm going to let Frank just do a lot of talking because there's so much happening. So Frank, you started off to tell me about you and Carl and the veterans. I'm going to let you jump in wherever you think to jump in.
Well, there's another thing, that another organization that I belong to that everybody is familiar with, I'm quite sure, is the Reading Grange. I'm also a member of that, and as a publicity for that. Also, tied in with the Grange, we talked about me being a honorary member of the Sons of Italy. Well, just to let you know that the Grange owns a building and the property, and the Sons of Italy, we are renters and been renting with the Grange for over 40 years. So we help the Grange, and the Grange helps us.
That's nice.
And it works together. And if either one of us had to separate, I think the other would fold up.
Yeah. Yeah, you need each other.
Yeah, so the Grange and Sons of Italy worked together like brother and sister, and that was another thing that is important to realize. Now, the Grange is supposed to be coming up with a fundraiser sometime in February, and that's I can tell you about the Sons of Italy doing the crab feed, but it's almost all sold out anyway.
Yeah, but the funds are what make a difference in our community.
Yeah, and both of them do fundraisers. Now, the other thing that I do is I'm on the support committee for the Northern California Veterans Home. There we meet at the local restaurant Lulu's once a month, generally the fourth Tuesday of the month, and have been members ever since the Veterans Home was put together. And that goes back quite a bit. We first were meeting inside the home, but so much things have changed with CalVet, and now we moved out and in a nice establishment where we can get some food and so forth while we have our meetings. And we also have been getting all the members, as many as we can of the residents of the home, become members of our support committee, which is working out well, and trying to solve any of the problems they have with CalVet.
So tell me, how do you support the member or the home, those who are in the home?
We do it financially because we also do fundraisers that we put together, fundraisers like gun safes and things of that nature. And then we also feed them. We do different feeds for all the members there.
So like lunches and dinners?
Yes.
So how do you find out what their immediate need is? He tells you.
That's also part of their – they have a committee, a house committee.
Yes.
That meets just like we meet with needs. And they have I need list.
I see. So the residents communicate to the house committee.
Yeah, and then they in turn communicate to us. Mm. And whatever they need, then we investigate what they need and if it's appropriate and so forth. And then we go ahead and go ahead and order them, make, model, and whatever year, and then pay for it. But we feed them at different types of feeds. And
So how can you support? How can our general public get involved and support that cause?
Well, they can do that by supporting the Northern California Support Committee for the Home.
Okay, and then is there a website they can just go on and look for Northern California Support Committee?
Not at this point, but we're working on that.
Okay.
But you can get hold of me.
Okay. And I'll be posting Frank's information on my Umbrella Marketing's Facebook page.
And then Linda Kent, she is our president and has been for a long, long time. And she is a go-getter and make sure that things get done properly and right and just all the way around and not just because they're Calvet.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's because it's the right thing to do. That's the premise of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I belong to is the Support Committee for the Northern California Veterans Cemetery, which I've done a lot of work there as well. I am the PR for that person, for that group as well. And
and what does that role look like? What's your just promoting?
Promoting the events. That we have generally two or three events they have there during the year.
Okay.
We have Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and now Wreaths for Heroes.
Yeah.
And sometimes some of the people that get buried at the cemetery are high honored, and we do a special little gathering for that as well. And I have done on the main stage in the chapel, there are all the branches of the service up, and I had decided to get flag spreaders to open up the flag so you could see who they are and put it up, and that really seemed to work really nice, and that I was glad I did that. And I've done some other little projects as well, and have some got some frames for some pictures that were taken by the air of the cemetery with the chapel on the ground, and then the original ones without the chapel on the ground. And then I had some of the military groups help pay for the and put their plaques on them and help pay for it and all that, and a lot of other things as well.
That's a very nice way to honor them.
Yeah, and then coming back down now to my Korean War Veterans Association, which is number one in California, we solicit money for our project, which is the Rose of Sharon, which is a powder blue flower of South Korea. It's a flower of peace, and there's one hanging right here, and in the flower they have little buds in the center, and there's 12 of them, and they represent the 12 major battles in South Korea. Now with the money we get from those, we do some nice things. One of them is we raise money and get scholarships, and we've had two scholarships, one a year from students here in Reading, and it just happened to be that both of them that we chose came from Shasta High School.
Yeah.
And both of them in two different fields are graduates that went on in two different government almost operated colleges, and they both do two different things for space.
Okay.
So they very, very well knowledge and technical and mathematical students. And one was a male and one was a female.
Wow.
And
nice.
That is something we're really proud of.
So when you're raising the funds, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop you just for a moment so I understand. So the flowers are provided. They're made in Korea. Brought here. You sell the flowers to do the fundraising?
We don't ask for donations.
Ask for donations. And then from those donations, how do you give the, how do you choose a scholarship recipient? How does that work? So you gave out scholarships to two different people.
We get an application, and they fill it out, and their background and everything from the school, and then we take those, and then we pay for a scholarship, and the scholarship we designate how much it would be, $1,000, $2,000, whatever.
Okay.
And then it goes directly to the school.
Okay.
In the student's name.
So then the school, how do the students find out? The schools must notify them and tell them these scholarships are available.
Yeah, we notify the student that we're donating the scholarship and to their college of their choice. And then in turn, we communicate with the college to let them know that we're doing this and vice versa. So everybody is all on the same page.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's changing lives is what it's doing, Frank. You know that. Obviously, you wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, it's amazing to find out that students are going such a high level. We couldn't even believe who's studying about the stars and everything else.
Yeah.
And in the space field. I mean, and that's the new one.
Right.
Yeah, so we got students that are right on the ball. They're right here with it. And the other thing we do, we were doing in the past, other than COVID come in, we would take and give coffee and donuts at the veterans' home for all the Korean veterans that are there. And over time, it was 26 and 27, and I was down to about 17 or 18.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we up until now, we couldn't go in for the last 3 years, go into the...
Yeah, you didn't have access.
Yeah, because of the COVID, but... things are starting to break, and that's what our original things we do, and we were doing that twice a year,
I'm sorry, those are just the small gestures that make such a huge impact.
Yeah,
you know, coffee and donuts, and they get to see a smiling face and someone who respects them.
And then the other organization I belong to, and that's a member of the Marine Corps League.
Yeah.
And they have one project that they do all year that they just did, and that is the Marine Corps birthday and celebration. And we have been doing it up until last year over at the Wind River.
Right.
And it's done on the birthday of the Marine Corps, which is November 10th.
Yeah.
And... knowing I work with the Marine Corps over the past years, they made me a honorary Marine because that's my birthday as well.
Aww.
And Frank, I do all the PR for them.
That's amazing. I want to say happy birthday. I hate to do this, but we're going to have to go. And we just are touching on such a wonderful topic, but our show has come to a close.